The House of Representatives yesterday took a step towards permanently repealing the estate tax, or as some prefer to call it, the death tax. The legislation to kill the tax was approved largely on party lines, 272 to 162. The bill faces an uncertain future in the Senate, though. David Wessel is Deputy Washington Bureau Chief of the Wall Street Journal. He says this isn't the first time Congress has moved towards repealing the tax.
In 2001, the Republican Congress passed a bill, and President Bush signed it, that reduced the estate tax gradually to the point of eliminating it altogether in 2010. But unless Congress does something, the tax pops up again in 2011, right back to where it was before Mr. Bush arrived, with a top rate of as much as 55%.
Well, if Congress did this before and there were fewer Republican members then, why isn't it a sure thing that they'll be able to make repeal permanent?
There's no obstacle in the House, as we saw, but it isn't clear that there are 60 votes in the Senate to repeal the tax, partly because the deficit is now a bigger worry. So Republicans are sniffing around trying to figure out if there's some compromise that Democrats will buy that will revive the estate tax, but at a much lower rate than it is today and with a much higher threshold so it hits many fewer people.
And that threshold would be?
Today, the threshold is $1.5 million. House Democrats unsuccessfully proposed raising that to $3.5 million. There's talk in the Senate of perhaps $5 million or even $10 million. Either way, it won't affect very many people. Even at $1.5 million, only about 19,000 people will pay the estate tax this year out of 2.5 million people who are expected to die this year.
So here's the big question. How did repeal of a tax that hits so few people become so politically popular?
That's a very good question, and it's particularly surprising at a moment when the gap between rich and poor in America seems to be growing. There are a couple of Yale professors, Michael Gratz, who worked at the Treasury in the first Bush administration, and Ian Shapiro, who've just written a book trying to explain this mystery. And they conclude that the advocates of estate tax repeal adopted what proved to be an extraordinarily shrewd strategy. They knew that facts and numbers wouldn't sway public opinion, so they made essentially a moral argument. The estate tax is wrong, they said, because it punishes success. And they put a face on it with wonderful examples of small business people or farmers who they said would be forced to have their property sold because their heirs wouldn't be able to pay the tax.
But if you peered a little more closely into that face, what did you find?
Well, first of all, you found there weren't very many faces there. The Tax Policy Center, a think tank in Washington, estimates that only about 440 farms or businesses will get hit by the estate tax this year. And some of the examples that were held up during the debate turn out to be really exceptional cases, or even people who didn't have enough money to qualify for the estate tax. They wouldn't have had to pay it, yet they became poster children for repeal.
So what happens next?
Now the action moves to the Senate. The question is, will Republicans continue to press for repeal, pleasing the small business lobby, or will Democrats agree to a light enough estate tax that Republicans decide it's better to settle this now, have a smaller estate tax, and get the fight over with, rather than continue to press for repeal?
David Wessel is Deputy Washington Bureau Chief of the Wall Street Journal. Thanks very much.
Thank you.